We gather here as we continue our Christmas season, and the stores, it's funny, often at this time of year, the stores continue to be crowded. Before Christmas, the Saturdays before especially, the stores are crowded. Everyone's buying something, getting the last minute, putting things off. But now, just after Christmas, the stores often, I used to work in retail, and I remember the Saturday after Christmas was also very busy. But it wasn't at the cash registers. It was at the customer service aisle. Because all the wonderful things that people got, they weren't quite happy with. So they were bringing them back. The returns become very popular. And I think it's a reminder that sometimes we get wrapped up in stuff, and we humans so often just aren't quite satisfied. There's something that we haven't quite gotten, or something that's just not quite right, so we feel like we need to maybe return it or search for something else. There's a book by Harold Kushner that I love called When Everything You Always Wanted Isn't Enough. And it's a great reminder of sometimes our pursuits just seem empty. This time of year, it's seen especially in our cultural craze for resolutions. We make resolutions this time of year, and it's evidenced at the gym. I belong to a gym. I've belonged to different gyms over the years, and it's been true no matter where I go, and I've been on both sides of this interesting New Year's resolution phenomenon. But I was at a yoga class yesterday, and we were getting ready, and there was about seven of us, and we were getting ready. We were laying our mats, and we had plenty of room in the class, and there was space for everybody, and we were nice and comfortable, and there was couple people talking, you know, that some especially, I'm fairly new to that class, but there were some that had been going for a long time and knew each other, were greeting, and I heard one of the women say, well, you know, next Saturday, it's going to be packed in here. And then in another month or two, it'll be empty again. Because she knew that we've been to the gym before, that every January, the gym gets filled up. Because there's so many people making their resolution. I'm gonna lose weight this year. Or I'm gonna get in better shape this year. So they flock to the gyms, and I know they have a lot of times they capitalize it. They have special deals. You can tell by the commercials nowadays. There's lots of commercials for gyms and for Weight Watchers and those kinds of things. They're advertising big right now. I've heard a lot of commercials on some of the radio stations I listen to for different kind of smoking techniques to help you quit smoking. This is the time of year when we want to make something new. We're not quite satisfied for the last year. We realize there's something just amiss. So maybe if we make a resolution, we can fix that thing that's been plaguing us. We'll get in better shape, or we'll quit smoking or quit drinking, or maybe we'll get out of debt fix our finances. Or maybe we'll rededicate ourselves to spending more time with family, or not working so hard, not working so much, and we know that stress has been an issue. But this is the time of year when we do these sorts of things. It's the resolution time of year. But the problem with resolutions is that their power often lies in our own resolve. And so the resolution starts out strong, but then it slowly fades away. So today we're invited not to make another resolution, to not make another promise to just try harder and do better, and if I just, it's a matter of willpower, if I just buckle down, I can get it done. I don't know why we trust that so often. I mean, we're the ones that got ourselves in the mess in the first place. Why do we think we're the ones that are going to get us out? So today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to renew, not make a new resolution, but renew our covenant. Will you pray with me now? Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for a new year. We give you thanks for the last year. We give you thanks for the challenges that have brought us to this day. We give you thanks for the joy and the hope that is born in us today. We give you thanks for the Christ that can be born in us anew every day. We ask that your Holy Spirit be with us now. Fill us with your power and your love and your grace. We pray these things for the sake of your Son, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. See, the problem with resolutions is we seem to always, they fall apart eventually. But this isn't something new. This isn't something that we should beat ourselves up over too much. It's not necessarily a symptom of something that's wrong with our culture. It's a symptom of our human condition. It's something that we've been doing for years, for generations, for thousands of years. And this passage of scripture that we read today is a reminder of that. Even the ancient Israelites were human, just like we are, and forgot from time to time who they were supposed to be. They forgot the covenant that they had made with God. This passage that we read from Deuteronomy, known as the Shema, is one of the most important passages in all of the Torah, of all of our Old Testament, of all the Hebrew scriptures. Some call it the focal point of the Torah. In fact, it was quoted by our Jesus when someone asked him, "So what is the greatest commandment?" Jesus quoted this passage from Deuteronomy, "Love God. That there is only one God, but love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might," as it says here in Deuteronomy. And this is the focus of who the people of Israel were. This is the turning point. This is the what makes the people of Israel who they were. This idea of the covenant that they're reminded of in this moment, that you have one God. And you're to love God. This is a part of the covenant. This is to a people that had come out of Egypt. When they were trying to decide who they were, figure out who they were, one thing that they held on to was the Exodus. The people, the slaves that were the lowest of the low in Egypt, and their God that brought them out, that stood up to the greatest power the world had ever known, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he had taken the people out of captivity. And he led them through the seas, and the armies of the Pharaoh had been washed away. And they came into the wilderness, and they were given the law of Moses. And all of this was a reminder of who their God was, this God that created them, that fashioned them, that formed them, that took them out of captivity, that was on the side, that was on their side and called them blessed. This covenant that God is reminding them of. The covenant of the law that wrapped them up and said, "This is how you're going to be my people. I brought you out of slavery so that you would be my people, and this is how you do it. This is how you love one another. This is how you treat one another. This is how and why you're different in the world." It was a reminder of the covenant that he made with Abraham so long ago. When God declared to Abraham, "You will be blessed. There will be a great nation of you, and you will be blessed so that you will be a blessing to the world." You see, this covenant is about something that's more than just something that happened a long time ago to a people thousands of years ago. Because this covenant that was made by God to God's people then is the same covenant we hold on to now. The covenant with Abraham, and the covenant with Moses, the covenant with Jeremiah, that they would come back to the land. That they didn't have to be on the land to be God's people. You could be God's people all times and all places, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of exile. And then Jesus came and made a new covenant, not to abolish the old covenant, but to fulfill it and make all things new, and offers us a chance to be in this covenant. Now, covenant, what does that mean? That's a big word. At the heart of covenant is this passage. At the heart of covenant is relationship with God. At the heart of our covenant with God is this, these powerful words, so simple. Love God with all your heart, with all your strength. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. Have no divided loyalties. Love God with your whole heart. All your heart is devoted to God. All that you care about, all that really matters in this world, all your priorities are directed toward God. Love God with your whole soul, with your whole life. Be willing to give your life to God. From now until the end of it, every moment of your life is dedicated to God. Love God with your whole might, all your strength, all your possessions, everything that you have, everything that you are devoted to God. See, and this idea of loving God is an important message about our God, about who we are supposed to, what we are supposed to do in this relationship. But the other part of it is so important too. There is one God. And saying that there is one God, today, you know, we can say that and lose what that means, how powerful that really is. To say there is but one God, because when there is but one God, that means there is but one people. And if there's but one people, then all the things we do to divide ourselves, all the things we do to separate ourselves from each other is just getting in the way of loving our God. If we're to love God, the only way to love God is to love the people that God created. Because every single person is created in that God, in that image, created in the image of God by that one God. That includes the stranger, your friend, your neighbor, your enemies, and you. It includes you. So to love God, you need to love yourself. Love who you are created to be. To love God, you need to love other people who God created them to be. This is the heart of our covenant. And see, this is the tricky part. The covenant was created and it endures and it lasts forever. And God is steadfast and God is everlasting and God is true and God's love endures forever and God's grace is eternal. But we kind of forget that every once in a while, don't we? We slip up. We let our sin get in the way. We let our shame get in the way. We let our selfishness get in the way. We let the obstacles and the dividing walls that we build around us, we let our comfort get in the way. And we forget. We're a forgetful people, as were the Israelites so long ago. So God gives us a clue here, gives us a tip on how to handle this. Because it is so easy to forget. So God says in Deuteronomy, keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Be reminded that the love of God is with you always. When you wake up, when you go to bed, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're with your family and friends, when you're encountering strangers, when you're in church and worshiping and praying and devoted, and when you've fallen and sinned and full of guilt and shame, all of those times, no matter where you are in your life, God's love is still there. God's love endures. That covenant can never be broken. We just need to be reminded of it every once in a while. And so, we come. We come to church. We come to our families. We come to a community. And remember that the hard thing about resolutions is too many times that they're just too small. You know, we want to improve ourselves, so we think, well, I could lose a little bit of weight. I can improve that, or I can fix my finances a little bit. I could really use that, or I can quit this one thing. So many times our resolutions are too small when our covenant is all-encompassing. Our covenant with God is our whole life, and if you love God, you can't help but love yourself too, because God created you, and so all those other things fit into that. And so I've given you something in the bulletin. There's a card. And there's that prayer that we just prayed. This idea of John Wesley's to have this covenant renewal service was an idea. Often they did it at the new year and other times in other places. But this prayer of John Wesley's is to let your resolutions be bigger. Let the covenant you keep be bigger. To love God first. To put yourself aside for a little while. And then let the grace flow. Put yourself aside for a while. Love God first. And then let Jesus' love and justice and peace wash over you. So I've given this to you to pray. We've prayed it once, and I hope you take it home or put it in your wallet or fix it to your mirror or fix it on your, you know, I don't expect you to attach it to your wrist or put it on your forehead. But put it somewhere where you'll see it, where you'll be reminded of it. Of the prayer that to accept God, to love God, to serve God. And know that when we come into covenant, the other mistake we so often make is to think we're doing it alone. Is to think that somehow just me and my God is enough. But we come to community. We come to worship as a people. We come to join in Christian fellowship with like-minded saints that are sinners, that are forgiven, that are redeemed, that are loved. And we come together in study, or we come together in service. I was reading about resolutions. And I came across this quote it was an article talking about a doctor that was talking about why our resolutions so often fail. And he says, the biggest mistake people make is to expect to try harder as a means for meeting the goal. Instead, he suggests surrounding yourself with others who have a shared purpose. So I invite you to come forward with others that are sharing a purpose. Knowing that this act is an act of devotion, it is an intensely personal act. I invite you to love God, to accept God, to know Jesus. But know that it is never a private act. It is so personal, but it should never be private. It is something you do in community. It is something we do here together. And the best way to keep the covenant, to remember it, is to be with the community. To hold each other accountable. To love one another in forgiveness and kindness and mercy. We're going to come to the waters of baptism. And when you come, Pastor Don and I will be here. And I invite you to remember your baptism. If you've been baptized before, then remember your baptism, whether you're a baby or an adult, if you remember it, actually truly remember the event or not, remember God's love. Remember the Holy Spirit that has welcomed you to God's table. Remember that power, the redeeming grace that is offered to all. Remember who and whose you are. And if you've never been baptized, on that card, there's you can take a look at that. If you would like to be baptized, we can baptize you this morning. If you'd like to be baptized, we can also, there's another box you can check and say, you know what, I'd like to be baptized, but I want to talk about it more and learn a little bit more. And that's okay too. I mean, that's just a way to let us know. But we're inviting you to come into this relationship, to remember this relationship, to remember the covenant that was made for you. We've got some words to share first. And Pastor Don is going to lead us in these questions and answers. And I hope as you follow them on the screen, these are old words. These aren't mine. These are John Wesley's words. And it's something that he wrote a long time ago to tell people to remember their baptism, to renew their covenant. So please join us.